and we'll pray again. Father, we just pray now that you would anoint the preaching of the word, that you would come in power and declare the things of yourself to us in a way that we can never do it in our own strength. Lord, come in power and undertake that your name might be glorified now. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, Luke 23, and we're going to read from verse 32. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." I want to speak tonight about two men, really. Jesus is going out to be crucified, and with him go two men, two criminals, people who have done some very serious things wrong. Because crucifixion was a special death, that form of execution that was created essentially by the Romans for punishing slaves and criminals. It was a very cruel form of execution. And so Jesus is led out to this place of execution, to the place called Calvary. And with him go two men. And so there you have three men hanging upon crosses. Three men. But I want to speak about two of them tonight. One of them, first of all, one of the criminals mocks Jesus and says, "If you are truly the King of the Jews, save yourself and us." But I want to speak about the other man. The other man was there. He was also a criminal, but he was hanging upon the cross. And as he hung upon that cross, he was in a place of utter helplessness. But the key to his situation was that he knew that he had done wrong. Now, for us as individuals, it's very hard for us to admit that we have done wrong. It's very hard for us to be honest and say, "Yes, I do wrong, I sin habitually every day, and because of that, I am under the judgment of God." Everything in society would dissuade us from making that kind of admission. We don't want to look bad amongst other people. We don't want to look to be wrong. We don't want to look as failures. So all of society would encourage us to hide it and say, "No, actually, I'm a good person. There's nothing very much wrong with me. Yes, we all do minor things, but essentially we say, I am a good person." But you see this man, and he's hanging on a cross, and everyone who walks past can see very clearly that he's a criminal. He has been found guilty, and he would have no doubt been well known as a criminal, the things that he had done wrong, and there would have been some kind of trial, and it would have been declared that he had done wrong. So there he is, hanging up high for everyone to see, and as people pass by, they say, "Oh, that's so-and-so who did that particular crime." They would know about him. He was there, clear for everyone to see. So it's there, he's there, this man, hanging upon a cross. It is so obvious to him that he has done wrong. It's obvious to everyone else, but it's obvious to him because he's there hanging in the wrong. The other man in that position, who was also a criminal, mocked Jesus. He was clearly aware of his own situation, but in response to that, he mocked Jesus and jeered at him. But this man, he admitted that he had done wrong. Now it says here, as he speaks about his own condition, he says to the other criminal, "Do you not fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." He's saying we deserve to be in this position on the cross. Now I wonder tonight, are we in that position where we can say, yes, we deserve the judgment of God? That man was saying, yes, I deserve to be on this cross. I deserve to be in this place of punishment because I have done what is wrong. And he was very open in admitting that. And I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to be open in admitting that you've done wrong? You see, this man couldn't very well hide it. But sometimes we are able to hide it. The things that are hidden in our hearts, the things that are hidden in our minds, we can hide it. And when we go out and see people, we can try and cover over all that's in our hearts, all that's in our past, and say, really, I'm a good person. How would you do? This is my name. I'm really a nice person. And yet God sees into the depths of our hearts. And sometimes there needs to come something that will reveal our sin and reveal our hearts so that we start to understand it. Because even though God sees the sin in our hearts and in our lives, and even though when we try and hide it from other people, we try to hide it from ourselves. And the more we cover up our sin in front of other people, the more we're covering it up in our own minds and in our own eyes and in our own hearts. You see, we spend so much time pretending to other people that we're good that we come to the place that we start to believe it ourselves. When the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us has done that which is wrong. And God says it, God declares it, but we say, no, actually, I'm quite a good person. I don't need the salvation of God. This man is hanging on the cross, and it's very clear that he is a sinner in need of salvation. And because of that, he is able to go to Jesus and say, I need your salvation. I need your help in this time of my trouble. Because I'm a sinner, and I'm now very close to the point of death, I need your salvation. I want to ask you tonight, have you gone to God and said, I need your salvation? Have you openly admitted your sin to him and said, yes, I'm a sinner. It may not be obvious to other people so much, but I am a sinner and I am in desperate need of salvation. Have you done that? Have you gone to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been honest before God and said, yes, I need your salvation? So that is the first man that I'm talking about tonight. He's the criminal. He's hanging there. His sin is obvious to himself and to other people. And as a result, he says, yes, I'm a sinner. And he goes to Jesus and says, I'm in need of salvation. But the other man I want to talk about is the Lord Jesus himself. Because he also is hanging there upon a cross. And he is there, very obvious and plain for people to see. And as the people walked past, they could see Jesus very clearly. You see, the crosses, this method of execution was such that they would put the crosses in a very clear place so that people could see them. And as they walked past, the idea was to dissuade people from committing crimes themselves. So they were in a very obvious place. And so as the people walked past, they would see the men. And so Jesus there was in a very clear and obvious place. But he was there, and really he was declaring his innocency. Remember, Pilate when Jesus was on trial before Pilate, and Pilate was there as the judge, he said, I find nothing wrong in this man. He's entirely innocent. I've tried him. I've heard what his accusers have had to say, but he's entirely innocent. And the only reason he allows him to be crucified is really for political ends, to appease the Jews. But he has declared openly that Jesus Christ has done nothing wrong. So there is Jesus hanging upon a cross, but he's there declaring his innocency, but also God is making it very obvious that he is the means of your salvation. It was not done in private. It was not a death done, an execution done hidden away in some private place, but it was an execution very clear so that people could go past and see the Son of God hanging upon a cross. And really, the message with regard to Jesus tonight is that the way of salvation through Jesus Christ has been made very clear to you. It's very clear, it's very obvious, it's very simple. That if you look to the one who has died on the cross for you, whose blood was poured out in payment for your sins, and trust him to save you, God will save you. He will take away your sins. There is life for a look at the crucified one. Look, look, look and live. Look to the one who has died on the cross and believe on him, and you will be saved. You may remember the story from Numbers 21 when the children of Israel were murmuring against God, and in judgment God sends a plague, and there are these snakes going around, and they bite people, and when they bite people, the people die shortly afterwards. And God said to Moses, because of God's goodness, he loved them and he wanted to make a way of salvation for them, a way so that they didn't have to die when they were bitten by the snakes. So God said to Moses, put a bronze serpent on a stake, and when people look at that, if they've been bitten by the snake, they will be saved and they will be healed. And in John in chapter 3, it says that that is what Jesus is like. And just as those people could look at the snake on the pole and say, yes, I trust God to save me, so God says, look to Jesus on the cross, at the cross, and see what he's done for you. And seeing that and believing, you will be forgiven your sins. You see, it's not by what we do, it's not by our good works, it's not through any amount of praying or reading the Bible or going to church that our salvation comes. But it's looking to the one who has died on the cross for you and trusting that when he died for you as an individual. You see, everybody else you know could be on their way to heaven. They can all be Christians. They can all know that when they die, they will go to be with God. But you have to make your own personal decision. You have to trust in Christ yourself for salvation. And just imagine if all your family were to go to be with God when they died, and you were left behind. You were one who did not go. Why? Not because they were any less sinful than you, but because you had not looked to Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for you, and you had not personally trusted in him for yourself. Because it takes that personal trust in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Someone else can't do it for you. Your family can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. But you personally have to turn to God and trust in what Jesus did on the cross. And when you trust for yourself, your sins will be forgiven. You see, other religions, Roman Catholics and so forth, believe that you can go to a priest and say, these are my sins, I confess my sins, and the priest will grant you some absolution and you can be forgiven. But God says that doesn't do you any good at all. You have to go to God himself. God has made one means of salvation, and that one means is Jesus Christ himself. And the way one means by which we receive that salvation is through looking to Jesus and trusting in his finished work. Soon after Jesus said, just before he died, he said, "It is finished." And when Jesus said, "It is finished," he's saying the price has been paid for salvation for anyone who trusts in me. The work was completed. That was an end of the payment for sin. There was nothing more for us to pay. And sometimes we may think, if I do this and this and this, that will add, that will help with my salvation. But Jesus said, "It is finished. I have paid in full everything that is necessary for your salvation." So I want to ask you tonight, you can see that there is one there who has died on the cross for you. There is one who has paid in full the price of your sins. There was nothing more that he could have done. He has done it absolutely. He has done it completely. He has paid everything necessary for your salvation. But I wonder, have you taken the time to look to the cross and say, "Yes, when you died for me. You died for me as an individual. And whatever anyone else does, I trust in Jesus as my personal Savior." I wonder, have you taken the time to do that? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? In the fullness of time, God sent his only begotten Son into the world. That was the means that God has provided for your salvation. Let me ask you, will you receive Jesus as your own personal Savior? How sad it would be if the provision has been made there for you, and yet you have not received it for yourself. This man, this thief upon the cross, he was right at the end of his life. He knew that. And he says to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says to him, "Verily, verily, or assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Because the thief, in spite of all his wrongdoings, because he there admitted his sin and he believed Jesus to save him, Jesus gave him that assurance, "Today you will be with me in paradise." I wonder tonight, do you want that assurance that when you die, you will go to be with God forever? You can have that assurance. As Jesus said, "Assuredly, truly, I say to you," you can have that assurance even tonight, that absolute assurance that when you die, you will go to be with God forever. You can have the rest that comes to your soul of knowing that there is a place reserved for you in God's kingdom, and we receive it by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, will you look to the one who has died on the cross for you? Will you receive him into your heart? Receive this salvation into your life and have that assurance that you will one day go to spend eternity with God in a place of bliss. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have made the way so abundantly clear. You have made a way of salvation for us. Lord, we just pray for grace and mercy tonight in receiving this into our hearts. Lord, any here who do not yet know you, Lord, that you would give them grace just to receive you in your fullness, in your power, in your saving power into their lives. Oh Lord, this takes a miracle. It takes a work of your grace. And we call upon you tonight that you would work this miracle where we cannot do it ourselves, where we cannot turn to you of ourselves. We say it's a work of grace, our God. It's your sovereign grace that does it. And because of that, we're calling upon you for this miracle. We're calling upon you for this change in lives. Lord, that folk would pass from death into life, from darkness into light. Lord, it is all of you. And we ask you now to work a miracle. In the name of Jesus, amen.